You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
There's a specific strain of cannabis that's called Halley's Comet. It was developed specifically for and named after a young girl who had a severe form of epilepsy, which conventional medications could not help. And joining us from Vancouver, British Columbia, to tell the story of her daughter is Cheryl Rose. Cheryl, good of you to do this. Thanks very much.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
Cheryl,
thank you for having me.
How young was Halley when you first noticed she was having seizures?
She was about 6 years old, between 6 and 7, when they first found out she had seizures. She may have had them before, but the pediatrician and that didn't feel that she was, but there was things that to this day are questionable if they actually may have been some seizure activity around when she was 2, just after her MMR shot. If that was, then it had settled down, and at between 6 and 7, there was a EEGs come back that yes, she definitely had a seizure condition.
So after her vaccination, something changed.
Yeah. She started doing this height. It was really weird. And I can't for sure say that it was seizures. The doctors weren't able, they didn't do any tests back then, but I had taken her to a pediatrician, and he felt she was hyperventilating, and she would look kind of off into space, and it was really weird. But that happened right after her MMR shot, and then it seemed to settle down and just stopped. And then when she was about 6 to 7, she started having seizures.
And what was the specific diagnosis?
At the time, they weren't sure. First, they weren't sure if it was epilepsy. Then they had to check it, do more tests. Then they tried her on while they were still unsure, because this is in the very, very beginning where they have to do a bunch of EEGs and things before they can say, yes, it's definitely epilepsy. First, they weren't sure. They tried her on a couple of drugs. They didn't work. So they were like, okay, well, maybe that's not what it is. Let's take her off them. We took her off them. I took her to California, her and her younger brother. While we were there, and I was looking, at that point, I was already looking for medical cannabis, and she was turning 8. This is about a year after they had first said, hey, yeah, we think she has seizures, but we're not really sure. And I took her to California. We went looking for doctors, and we couldn't find anybody that would talk to us about cannabis because she was only 8. Turning 8. So she ended up having 40 gram mals in 24 hours, plus a bunch of other sorts. She has 5 different seizure types. We ended up in the ER. They put her on phenobarbital, and then we left, and we ended up coming back to Canada because we were just not finding what our intended purpose in going to California was. After that, within a short period after that, they had, around that time, they diagnosed her with multiple seizures, difficult to control, drug resistance. And she kind of had that diagnosis, which is pretty general, for quite a few years. But according to her EEGs, there was classic slow spike wave pattern, which is typical of LGS. So after years, a couple years of being able to confirm it, they diagnosed her with LGS.
Cheryl, what is LGS short for?
It is Lennox-Gastaut syndrome. It is a severe, rare form of epilepsy. It's similar to Dravet syndrome, where multiple seizures, difficult to control, drug resistant. Age of onset is between, average age of onset is between 2 and 6 years old. There are kids that don't get it until later on, or younger. A lot of childhood, like West syndrome, which is a infantile seizures, as well as other infantile seizures. A lot of them end up turning into LGS. Children have, what it does is they cause children to not be able to learn or deterioration in learning. So they will actually lose skills or they'll stay stagnant. We were lucky with Haley. At six, she kind of stayed stagnant at that for quite a few years at that level instead of losing more skills. Right before she started cannabis at age 15, we noticed that she was losing skills. And it was happening really fast.
Can you give us some examples?
She would have more seizures. Her speech was a little more off, concentration, cognitive abilities, understanding of things, just all that sort of thing. Even her mobility. I mean, she was very, very mobile, and she still is very mobile. So we've been very, very, you know, lucky in that respect. But there, you could just see overall decline. And in January 2008, I was told that she was not going to make it to, when I asked about what we would look at school next year, because she was just seizing so much, it was really hard to have her in school because she was always ending up in the ER. And they said, don't expect putting her in school for September. And I said, well, what do you mean? And they were like, well, she might not make it till September. And this is in January. And they said, so just forget about school, because you're going to be taking care of her, right? And then I said, well, what about Christmas? And he said, she's not going to be here for Christmas.
Wow.
There was no way, yeah.
So they were giving her, they were giving her a death sentence then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
100%. And at that point, they wanted me to start grief counseling.
Wow.
In January.
What's going through your mind when they're saying this to you?
One of the things was I handed them the federal paperwork and asked them to please sign for the MMAR so I could give her one last chance at something. And, you know, I had been searching and trying everything. We had actually, at that point, right when they were telling us this, I had searched the world looking for options. And I had found some stem cell research in at Sri Ramachandra Stem Cell Institute in India. And we were actually looking at taking her to India to try it. But the doctor had said at that time, the what their process wasn't perfected enough. And he actually had a patient that had it done. But what happens was it was embryonic stem cells, and they would put them in the brain, right? And what would happen is they become whatever they touch. So they grow, right? Which is great, except they don't disperse properly, which means you end up with a lump of cells in that one area, and actually caused more problems than good at that time. And he said, you know, it's going to be a while before she's not going to make it to be long enough to try that. So then, of course, it was again with the MMAR. And nope, nobody would touch it. Not a chance. Well, because she was in beginning, you know, puberty, and her cycle was starting to become a regular sort of thing in May. Her cycle in May, it wasn't fully on a proper schedule yet. But in May, by May, she was declining fast. Like, she looked like, Mark Emery said himself, you know, she seemed like a child with severe autism, unable to speak, unable to do things. And, you know, just kind of like a walking zombie is kind of how she was, or unable to focus on people and look you in the eye. Like, she was really losing her skills quickly.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, I can't imagine what goes through a parent's mind when you see your child deteriorating like that.
Well, what was going through my mind was that right before January, My son, who was 3 years younger than Haley, mm-hmm. Every time Haley would sneeze, he came to me going, "Mommy, is she going to die now?" Because we all knew that she was getting worse, and it was just becoming life-threatening, and then they said that in January. So he had gone to live with his dad for a little while, and while I tried to do what I could for his sister, mm-hmm. and I also had a younger child who, oh my gosh, what, Haley was 11 when she was born, so she was about three, mm-hmm. I think four at that time. And I, you know, obviously I was very scared, but I went and decided that, this is back in 2008, right? So really there wasn't much around for information about children or about epilepsy. Everybody knew that it could help, but you couldn't get anybody on board with my kid. So even at 15, it was really difficult, and especially here in Canada. And I ended up having to make a choice, and the choice was, and I had spoken to my youngest kid's father and said to him, "Listen, I'm going to give my daughter cannabis. And if anything happens, like if, you know, Child Protective Services or the police or something, like if I get in trouble for this, I need you to have my back and be ready to take our youngest." So I kind of pre-planned that all hell would break loose and I was going to be in a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. And I did that because I knew what I was about to do was I was about to break the law to try and save my child's life. And I did. And it was the best decision I have ever made. You know, it really was. We went and I accumulated some medical cannabis that was medically grown. And we went to Mark Emery's Vapor Lounge.
Cheryl, I just want to tell folks who may not be familiar with Mark Emery, who don't live in Canada, Mark Emery is affectionately known in this country, Canada, as the Prince of Pot. And he was the one that helped you out in this regard, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't know who to contact, right?
Yeah.
It was 2008. Didn't know who to contact. This is the only person that stands out. You know, at that time, he really was standing out of the crowd in this cannabis movement. And I had some incredible supportive people. You know, my friends that were like, "No, you know what? Just do it. Just go." Mm-hmm. And so I went down there. I contacted him first, told him what was up, and he said, "Come down and I'll talk to you." Right? Obviously, he's not going to give me cannabis for my child, right? So I go down there, and we bring Haley down there, and I had this cannabis, and we put it in the Volcano vaporizer. And he shows us how to use it, and then I give it to Haley, right? He's like, "Mom, you got to give it to her." I'm like, "Okay." And I give her the Volcano vaporizer, and she has a few puffs off it. First, we had to try and show her how to use it, which was quite funny, but she got it. And within moments of vaporizing, she started clearing up and making eye contact and talking. And you know, everybody who was there and witnessed it was just completely blown away because we all saw the difference within moments. It was ridiculous. It was like, wow. So that was great. We went home, and the next day I went down and I bought a Volcano vaporizer. And we had the pleasure of meeting Michelle Rainey. Mark set us up in contact with her. Rest in peace. Incredible woman. She introduced us to Dr. Paul Hornby. And Dr. Hornby worked with us. And what we did was at first, we were using the Volcano vaporizer. And then what was left over in the material, the spent material, well, we were doing three inhaled bags, the arm length from your fingertips to your elbow. And then we would give her the spent material, half teaspoon to teaspoon of spent material from the vaporizer, mixed with butter, and she would eat that. And that was her first time taking oral cannabis. And it did an amazing job. It held her seizure stability far longer than just inhaling. It was amazing. Within a few days of meeting Dr. Hornby, these incredible growers showed up. And actually, the strain wasn't actually created for Haley. It happened to be bred the year before, grown, and its first crop showed up 3 days after Haley started. We met Dr. Hornby, which was, you know, 4 days. We met him the day after she started, and within, I think it was about 4 days of starting medical cannabis, these incredible growers showed up where Dr. Hornby was working, and he tested their product, and it showed CBD. And when he was explaining to them what an incredible find this was, because the only place he had ever seen high CBD in any CBD amounts was in hemp. So this was really major for us. And, you know, everybody, I guess, was crying there. I wasn't there the time, but he immediately got on the phone, called me and said, get in here. We've got something for Haley that I think is going to make a huge difference. And she started that. And it was a total of 11 days after she saw her GP, 9 days after starting medical cannabis. So 2 days after that, we started medical cannabis after seeing her GP. And we went in and we saw him. And I had faxed over the MMAR paperwork to him. And I got there and he opens the door to his office where we're sitting waiting for him. And Haley's sitting there going, I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm really, really bored. And he starts, yeah, seriously. He opens the door and he sees and he can hear this. And he's like, just starts laughing. And he looks at me and he's like, that's because your brain's working. He looks at me and goes, what happened?
Because the change was just so profound, I guess.
It was so profound. He had seen her 11 days prior and we were discussing, you know, he knew that we, you know, had to start doing something, and it was like, okay, we're going to do the best we can with what we can, and how are you, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He couldn't believe the difference. It was so noticeable. He was like, what happened? I told him what I did, and I said, I need you to sign these papers, and he went, okay, and he signed it immediately, no questions, because the difference was so profound. In her communication, her abilities, her mobility, everything, he was just blown away. You couldn't deny the difference. There's no denying it, right?
Yeah.
So he signed, and she became Canada's first child patient. And right after her, actually, Storm Peschel, he's in Toronto. He was actually signed just within a couple of months of Haley, and they're about the same age. So he was signed just a couple of months later for a completely different condition.
Cheryl, how did this help her seizures in terms of the number of seizures she had prior to taking cannabis?
Oh, it dropped them right out. She ended up going, because what happened was she was, like I was saying, she was right in the middle of hitting her regular hormonal cycle. Mm-hmm. And so what would happen, and we found it real quick, that for 2 weeks a month, she had no seizures, which was amazing because she was having at least 12 gram mols a night. That doesn't include the day. That doesn't include the four other types of seizures she has. Doesn't include any of that. She was having them every single day, all but maybe 1-2 days a month. But she was having them continuous every day, and they were just getting worse and worse. And they dropped out, even with the high THC cannabis that we started, they just bottom right out. And all of a sudden there was none. And here's this kid who's laughing and talking and not seizing and engaging, and it's just like, wow. Then her high seizure time, her cycle kicked in. When her cycle kicked in, she went into status. What we found out is that estrogen is a proconvulsant. Haley's natural hormonal cycle will actually send her into status epilepticus. So now that we had beat LGS, because right away they did an EEG 6 weeks after starting cannabis before her cycle had fully kicked in. And the findings of the EEG 6 weeks after starting medical cannabis was that they no longer believed she had an epileptic encephalopathy, which meant she doesn't have LGS anymore. Mm. We can come off the other drugs. Well, her cycle is the only main reason why Haley takes any medications now. We actually have her on progesterone and progesterone only pills in order to make her body think that it's not cycling as bad.
Okay. Being a man, I'm trying to understand this. Okay.
Well, the estrogen, right? Yeah. A woman's menstrual cycle, and every 2 weeks we'd get no seizures whatsoever, and then we would get some seizures. Now, over the years and over the last 2 years, obviously, we've tried different medications and stuff, and pretty much every drug she's on right now is to, except for the cannabis, is to combat, well, and the cannabis, but is to combat the catamenial seizures, because the actual cannabis got rid of her LGS. So, but estrogen is not our friend when you have seizures and you're highly sensitive. We have over the last 2 years, aside from, changing up a few medications and things like this, but we've actually utilized high CBD strains, which is a whole strain because I am all about the entourage effect rather than single cannabinoids. And I can explain that, my reason behind that, in a moment here. So we added in high CBD to take Haley's ratio from a 1-to-1 or a 1.12. So it would be a 1.2-to-1 CBD THC during her regular good time. And then during high seizure time, we give her 1.4-to-1 ratio CBD to THC. Now that ends up only being about a 20 milligram to 30 milligram increase in her actual cannabis regime per dose. That slight amount is enough to help combat the worst of the catamenial seizures. Sometimes we do still get breakthroughs. We end up going for like a few months, nothing. Then there'll be a few breakthroughs, but they're all in that sequence. We're not even, the last few months, we're not getting any any seizures from the full moon, which was also an issue for her.
Oh, the full moon.
Oh, yeah. All those stories about the full moon, they've actually, over the years, I've watched this over the years with the medical community, and doctors actually do take that into consideration. If you have seizures during the equinox, or if you're sensitive to the full moon and you're charting it, and you show them, hey, it is an actual thing.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard from people in the medical profession who work in the emergency room that if it is a night with the full moon, they'll be extremely busy.
So it affects us, right? So
yeah, Cheryl, it must have been incredible for you as a parent and a relief for Haley to have this relief of when she started taking the cannabis, to be able to sleep through the night. I mean, through the night,
to this day, I hear that sound of the beginning of a seizure day or night, and I jump. It's like I go right from asleep to right awake. Any sounds, her neurologist said it best. He said, any parent with a child, especially a mother who has a child that has a severe seizure condition like Haley has, LGS or Dravet, or any one of the other severe medical severe seizure conditions, any parent that doesn't have PTSD to it, he's never met them. He's like, it doesn't exist because you are so programmed to jump the minute your child seizes. It doesn't matter day or night. To this day, I still wake up and I'm like, oh, is she breathing? Because there is sudden unexplained epileptic death. It's a very real thing, and it happens all the time to our children.
Do you take medical cannabis for PTSD?
Yes, I do. I also take it for my ADHD and pain.
How has your Haley's younger brother dealt with this?
It was really hard for him when he was very young. You know, children in the families go through a lot, because if a child has a seizure, that's it. You might be going to the ER, or your plans just got changed or whatever. So it can be quite hard on the family. You know, other siblings as well. And of course they're supportive and they love their sibling and they don't want anything to happen to them. But there are a lot of times that, you know, you just don't get that. Every day, every, you know, Tuesday, we go and we do this. Well, you can't, you can plan it, but you have to be aware that it's always going to change, right? Mm-hmm. You never know. So it is quite hard on the kids as well. And I know that a lot of times support systems are built around, and the services are around the individual person who's suffering, and they kind of forget about the rest of the family. Or maybe they'll help the parents out, but they, you know, siblings need that support as well, because they are strong, and I find them to be some of the strongest young people I've ever met, are the siblings of children with epilepsy, because they go through a lot as well with it.
Cheryl, I'm sure you talk to other parents who are in similar circumstances that you were in and are in. What do you tell them?
I tell them to talk to their doctors. We actually will, because we put a protocol in 2009 in the public school system here in Vancouver for children to receive oral Cannacaps, you know, orally if they're eating it, to have them administered. And then in 2011, we had the Iolite vaporizer approved for vaporizing in the classroom for emergency purposes. So these things are allowed in the system, and they actually are more accepted than people would think. Oh, no, you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. And it can be done, and it has been done. I tell them, don't panic. There is, you know, a lot of people out there that have education and can help you and can educate your doctors. Number one is making sure that your doctor is on the same page. And if they aren't educated, to make sure that you can provide them with that education. Unfortunately for patients, you know, we do have a lot of work we got to do ourselves. I've never met a parent who was upset about doing that work, because that hope, that possibility of helping their child, any parent would do it. You know, they're going to look for it. Unfortunately, it does get difficult with doctors. They're still afraid here to sign. And I think that has a lot to do with the rules and regulations surrounding our medical system here and the medical cannabis system here. But a lot of things we do is, if a patient does have a doctor or is receiving it from a club or an LP, we don't discriminate on what year, where you got it or anything. We're not about that. We're about making sure that people get the help they need in order to figure out how to find the best dose for them. We all know that everyone is very individual. Strains are very individual. So what we provide is we do consulting with them, where a lot of children get helped with high CBD, and then there are kids who need a one-to-one like Haley, or there's children that also need a higher THC or THCA when it comes to fighting seizures. So we have developed a sort of a system to help them try these different ones and help them find out the right ratios, find out which one's going to work best for them. And of course, there's many, many strains out there. So we do encourage people to try the different strains. You know, if a strain is known for having positive effects, well, then you want to try those strains first, right? Like Haley's Hope or Charlotte's Web or any one of Jaden's juices in the States there as well. So,
how old is Haley today, and how's she doing?
Haley is 23 years old. We have been blessed to get to see so many birthdays. Haley graduated high school. Dr. Paul Hornby escorted her to her prom.
Aww.
That was absolutely amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. That alone is something I never in a million years would have thought we'd see. We were told there's no way. You know, so it's not just a celebration for us, but it's a celebration for the doctors that have worked with my daughter, for Dr. Hornby, for all our friends and other advocates that have gotten to and been part of our journey. It's a celebration for all of us because it's just amazing. Now she's 23. She's doing good. She used to read at a grade 2 level. Now she can read books like Narnia and things like that. Unfortunately, from all the years of pharmaceuticals, it's taken a severe toll on her bones and her teeth as far as her bones. And so she has bone deterioration. And unfortunately, her jaw bones have taken a real beating from the pharmaceuticals. And as the doctor said, pharmaceuticals will help for a while, and then eventually they don't. They actually end up attacking your system. So because she's outlived any expectancy that they could have ever had for her, she's now hit the other spectrum. That part is kind of rough, but she's doing really good. I mean, she only has like a few breakthrough seizures here and there, and that would only be on during her high seizure time. It's amazing the difference of her health and her understanding, her comprehension, and the things that she wants to do and her socialization compared to where she was at. You know, when she was seizing hard before we started cannabis, you could literally see her lose skills every time she seized. Mm-hmm. It was like she would come out and her speech would be off. She'd come out and her dexterity was off. Her thinking was off, and it just got worse every time. It was a fast decline for her.
What is the Haley Rose Foundation?
We are a not-for-profit society. We are, what we do is we do consultations and education, support for families, especially children with epilepsy, but of course we don't discriminate. If you are seriously ill, we will help you if we can. We haven't quite got to scholarships yet. It'll be a bit before we can do that. We have to raise some funds. So
yeah, I hear you.
To provide that, but you know, it is one of our goals. And yeah, we can provide healthcare services or products to families in need. So if you have a severe seizure condition, we will not just consult with you. We actually, for consulting and when you join up, we have a logging sheet for those with epilepsy that's simple check marks, and then there's a seizure log as well that they can write down any information, anything that we need to know extra about it. What we do is we go over the logs and we look for different things that will help us to determine whether there needs to be changes done with the cannabis medicine or what, right? Have we found the sweet spot? Is there something else we need to look at and try? There are many different things. And like Haley needs a one-to-one. We have a child with LGS who does great on another child that does great on a one-to-one. And then we have another child who has to have the Charlotte's Web. All same condition, all different children. It's very unique for everyone. So
yeah. Cheryl, it was great of you to join us and tell your story. We very much appreciate it. And all the best in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Oh, no problem. No problem. You can find us on Facebook at the Haley Rose Foundation. And we have a website. It's being revamped. It is HaleyRoseFoundation.org. And you can email us if you have any questions at HaleyRoseFoundation@gmail.com. No problem.
Okay.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Cheryl, so much.
And there you have it, another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Thanks for listening, everyone.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.